When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is up, TFA fam? Welcome in to another video. On to week five. Tonight we are breaking down our running back rankings. We are going to do a three-man this time. If you already saw the quarterback tight end video, we tried this. That's what we always record first. It'll peek behind the scenes. And then Robbie, you know, apparently couldn't take it. He's like, you know what? This is too much. I'm gone. But he's back. So we are going to be talking about our consensus top 24 rankings. We're going to break down our top 12 first, then hit 13 to 24 and talk about some of the guys outside of that. Let's kick things off with our top 12. Like I was just saying, there is a little asterisk here. Robbie and I are not expecting Christian McCaffrey to play. Kevin has ranked Christian McCaffrey as if he is going to play. So Kev has him at one, but he is not in our ranking. So that's why you're not going to hear us talk about CMC. But if he plays, you're plugging him. Outside of that, we have Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb, James Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, and then Najee Harris at 12 for our top 12. Obviously, if you have these guys, you're plugging them in. I really don't think we have to dive into a lot of these guys. For me, there weren't a lot of matchups that I felt like, okay, this is a great matchup. There's some I like, and there were some I was kind of like up in the air on. So curious to get your guys' thoughts. Robbie, I'm going to throw it to you first before your internet flakes out on us again. How did you go through some of these top 12 guys? Are there any guys that, you know, you were having a little bit of trouble with, guys you feel you might be higher on or lower on versus the rest of us?
For me, I think the first name, and I know we're all starting him, but the guy I want to touch on real quick is Alvin Kamara, because he is getting so much of that workload, and the Saints are running the ball at such a rate that it's actually beating the Baltimore Ravens, who we always look at as this team is they're going to run more than every other team in the league, right? Not this year. Sean Payton has decided to do a full 180. He is running the football early and often. Now with Tony Jones out for week five and beyond, I can only imagine that Alvin Kamara is going to see the field probably at the Christian McCaffrey levels, right? Of 96, maybe 100% of the snaps. And I know he didn't get any targets last week. That's normally an anomaly. He should get even if they're not passing a ton, 3 to 5 to 6 targets, right, in any given week. And if he's going to get 25 rushes to begin with, that has him as a top five guy for me. So I know some people are worried he didn't see the touchdown, but he had over 100 yards, had plenty of work, seeing all the snaps, no more Tony Jones. I have him as a top five guy for me. And then another guy that I have a slightly higher than you guys on is DeAndre Swift. And this is a guy that we hear that he's going to go and get a lot more work, right? We heard that from Coach Campbell coming into the week. He got the snaps. Right. He just didn't get the work exactly. And so I'm going to trust the snaps a little bit more than the overall workload. I know in most weeks, if he gets 8 carries, he's not going to get 16 yards. He's going to turn that into a much better total on the ground. And then I do expect his yardage through the air to be better in most weeks. So I'm going to stick with him. He gets a much tastier matchup, I think, this week going against Minnesota. I really, really like them to have to pass a lot to him to keep up in this game. So I'm really excited about him. The one guy, and I'm sure we'll get to him, I don't want to jump ahead, but I think all of us have him as a running back too, is I'm a little worried about Antonio Gibson. The snap share is not fantastic. He's actually gone down each and every week so far, from 65% to 61% to 57% to 55% in week 4. And we know the talent's there, right? Like, we've seen it week in and week out, but they're just not going to him full time. We saw J.D. McKissic play 40% of the snaps this last week, and so he's just trending in the wrong direction. I'm kind of nervous that if he doesn't get you that touchdown, you're going to be sitting with a low-end running back two, and I think that's why you'll see him pop up once we get to our running back twos.
Yeah, I like the bounce-back game for DeAndre Swift as well. The only guy that I really want to touch on here in the top 12, James Robinson, back to doing James Robinson things. Carlos Hyde was a healthy scratch on that Thursday game, which led to the showing that made J-Rob who he was last year, right? 95% snap share, 78 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Now, he didn't see the targets in this one. He only had 2, and that was his lowest on the season. But if this is going to be what we see going forward, I think we can plug in James Robinson. And, from that 10 to, 14-ish kind of range week in and week out after looking like Urban Meyer was going to do Urban Meyer things week one. I'm actually very surprised that Hyde was a healthy scratch, with the relationship that those two have. But Kev, top 12, any guys that you want to touch on here before we move on to our RB2s for the week?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna sort of disagree with you here on Alvin Kamara. I think that he is a boom or bust play, really. That's what he's been so far this year. Week two, he got you a good old 7 fantasy points. Last week, he got you 12. He is a touchdown-dependent running back right now. He is not seeing the targets that we are accustomed to seeing from him. Even if you take out last week, I mean, 4 targets. That's just not what we were looking for from him. This offense is absolutely putrid. If they're not going to be able to get down and score, it is really going to cap his upside here. And Washington, while their secondary has been bad, their front and their against the running backs has been still really, really good. They are 8th in adjusted line yards. Their defensive line is. They are also 2nd in stuff rank. So they have done a very good job of bottling running backs up. And if you look at Alvin Kamara so far this year, I mean, I don't think it really changes. Tony Jones isn't going to change. All of a sudden, he gets all these other opportunities. They have Dwayne Washington. I'm sure he'll mix in and get some opportunities too. I think right now he sticks around 62% snap share. He is 3rd in carries, but he's 20th in targets. And he's only 14.5 fantasy points per game, which is 18th among all running backs, 39th in true yards per carry, 42nd in yards created per touch. So he just hasn't been efficient either. And so if he's not going to get this high level of targets, then I think there is some level of concern here with him that – I don't think you can just try and lock him in and think he's a top 5 running back anymore. Now, does that mean you're not starting? No, but you should temper your expectations of who he is now. He's not the same guy he was last year in this offense. That's a problem. Now, maybe once Michael Thomas gets back and they get some of these other weapons going and this offense can kind of turn a little bit more into a more functional offense. But right now, it's just not that. And they have no pass catchers whatsoever. So if you're Washington, you're just going to stack the box. Okay, run the ball all game, New Orleans. Try to beat me through the air. And I don't think they're going to be able to because I don't even know if Marcus Callaway is going to play. He got hurt last game. And so this offense is just devoid of any upside. And really, he has to score a touchdown for him to be able to do that. And if he does not score a touchdown, it's probably not going to be a great week for Alvin Kamara. So that's just what I want to talk about him. That's why I have him down at 8. And I even think that might be a little bit too high.
I was just going to say, Kev, we had our throwdown beginning of the year, Dalvin Cook versus Kamara. And I was nervous about Kamara's targets. Like, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me that they don't have the playmakers and they're not using their best playmaker, in the passing game. So it is absolutely worrisome. Robbie, I know you're going to throw your 2 cents in there. So go ahead and then we'll move on to the RB deuces.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go back and forth on Kamara. I think you're rolling him out if you have him. I think the workload is promising. Like, we look at the running back finish, and maybe doesn't look as great as you'd like it to. He had 26 carries for 120 yards. This was a fantastic week, one of the best weeks you'll ever see for someone who doesn't score a touchdown. And those touchdowns will come. We talk about this offense not being as explosive as they were in the past. That's fine. They still scored 3 touchdowns. And if you're telling me the Saints are going to score 3 touchdowns, average 21 points a game, Alvin Kamara is going to score more often than not. Taysom Hill had 2 rushing touchdowns, which absolutely he can score, but he's not going to get 2 rushing touchdowns each week. Alvin Kamara will probably score every other game, every third game, something like that. So I believe that this is a guy that probably is underlooked because he hasn't scored a rushing touchdown, right? We're worried about that rushing touchdown potential, but I think the regression will come back. That's why he's a top 5 guy for me.
Let's move things on to our RB2s for week 5. And we're kicking things off with a guy that we're a little bit divided on as Darrell Henderson. Rob, you have him at 11. I have him at 14. Kev, you have him at 17. Followed by Antonio Gibson, who you touched on, Robbie, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Williams, Damian Harris, Chris Carson, Leonard Fournette, Cordarrelle Patterson, Josh Jacobs, and then Miles Sanders at 24. Kev, I will give you the floor first. Anyone in this 13 to 24 range that you want to, you know, really touch on? Guys you feel good about, guys you don't feel good about?
Well, I think there's a lot of question marks this week because we have, it doesn't, I mean, right now it doesn't really sound like Joe Mixon's going to play, which probably opens the door for Samaje Perine. We had Chris Carson pop up as a DNP today with a neck issue.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't play, we're looking at Alex Collins. I mean, Damian Williams, we now have, you know, that we know that David Montgomery's out for 4 to 5 weeks. So that's much more of a significant injury than what people thought. So you have Damian Williams or possibly Khalil Herbert. So, I mean, there's a lot of running backs right now that are banged up here that, you know, I think all these guys are going to be pretty much going to be waiver guys. This is probably going to be the guys people are going to have the biggest questions about this week. This is everyone's going to pick up. Everyone's going to want to know where they slot these guys. And currently for myself, I mean, I have, I think all of them as top 24 options, but I have Samaje Perine at 24, Damian Williams at 20. And so, well, I guess I still have Chris Carson because it's a little bit too early in the week to know exactly what's going to happen with him. But with Samaje Perine and both Damian Williams, I think they're both, you know, kind of top 24 guys this week. And so for me, I think, you know, Damian Williams, I think, is going to be involved as a pass catcher. I could see Khalil Herbert definitely mixing in here and getting opportunities on the ground. And you have Samaje Perine, who has also been involved in the passing game as well. I know they also have Chris Evans, who is a pass catcher as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize these two guys. And I think these are two guys that people are going to have the most questions about this week. You know, other than that, you know, Damian Harris gets a fantastic matchup against Houston. I'm sure they're going to pound the rock with him. So even in a full PPR, I still think he's probably a top 15 guy going against Houston. I am starting everybody I can anytime anybody plays Houston. You know, and then past that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has done a really good job over the last couple of weeks, kind of bouncing back and kind of people that maybe would have bought low on him. That window is closed a little bit because he has really bounced back. And we've seen the Chiefs offense really try to, you know, I think teams have like, okay, we figured you out. We're going to, you know, we're just going to play too high safety. And, you know, we're just going to, you know, let you guys have everything you want underneath. And Andy Reid just been like, okay, we're just going to run the rock with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's really what they've done the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, it's good to see him finally bounce back and post two solid performances. Now, this is a tougher matchup against the Buffalo. Buffalo's defense ranks first in pass DVOA and second in run DVOA. But I really don't care when you're playing Kansas City. Kansas City's going to get theirs and, you know, score a lot of points. There is no defense. I don't care who you are that's going to stop this team. So I think I don't have as much enthusiasm about Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week, but he is still a solid RB2.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Robbie, what say you?
Yeah, kind of going off the top, the guy that you mentioned that I have higher than you two would be Daryl Henderson. And this is a guy you and I had talked about on the pre-show on Sunday. You know, you were a little bit hesitant. Are they going to work in Sony Michel a little bit more? And it did not appear to be that way, right? Henderson absolutely took advantage of what was a great matchup. Anybody running against that Cardinals defense from a rushing perspective has had success, and Darrell Henderson was no different. And now he turns around and gets that same type of matchup against the Seahawks. They've given up the most yards to running backs thus far this season, second most to the position in fantasy points. And he's kind of that workhorse. Now, can Sonny Michel get a couple series here and there? Yes, I absolutely think he can. But this is a guy that also saw 6 targets for 5 catches. He hasn't had under 16 opportunities in any of the 3 games that he's played. So if he's healthy, which is always the big if with Darrell Henderson, if he's healthy, he's normally pretty productive. So that's why I have him as a running back 1. The other guy I think a lot of people will have a question on is Cordarrelle Patterson. What are we doing with this man after he scores 3 touchdowns? We all have him kind of ranked as a low end running back 2. A lot of sites have him. You can play him at either running back or wide receiver. So we might talk about him again in the wide receiver show. But I'm not chasing the touchdowns. I get it. He's been fantastic for a couple weeks in a row. But Mike Davis played 51 snaps to Cordero Patterson's 23 snaps. And I get it. He had the three touchdowns. The first one was a broken play. The other two were actually legit. His third one was a fantastic catch over the shoulder. I really liked that. But he is actually seeing yards per route run of 4.6. And to put that into perspective, the only guys that are near that have had at least 50 routes run, Tyreek, Rondell, Cooper Kupp, Debo, and Brandon Cooks, they're all a full yard less than him per route run. So he's at a rate that's just not sustainable at all. He's at a touchdown rate of 22% that's not sustainable at all. And eventually, Calvin Ridley is going to get the touchdowns. Kyle Pitts is going to get the looks and the touchdowns. And so that means it's going to get taken away from Patterson. I'm selling high in any league I can. We do rank him as a low-end running back too, just because he is involved in the pass game in a PPR setting. That's what's going to get him. If he gets five or six catches, I'm going to have to put him there based on, you know, he can score that touchdown, right? We've seen it. But I'm absolutely going to be selling him going forward.
Yeah, if you're able to sell high on him, he is like the poster child for selling high on somebody. But we have him ranked there. We're not necessarily chasing the points, but he's getting the opportunity. Week two and week three, 7 carries, 7 targets. Last week, 6 carries and 6 targets. But the touchdown rate, Robbie, you already said it, absolutely unsustainable. But, you know, he's going to be here until we see him phase out of this offense. He's getting the opportunity, and he has been an explosive piece. It would just be nice if, I don't know, they would scheme things up for a tight end that they took in the top 5 of this past draft. But, hey, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being crazy. But the guy that I wanted to touch on that I have way higher than all of you, I thought maybe you guys would be, like, close to me. I would just be a little bit higher. But that is Leonard Fournette. I have him as an RB1 for the week. I actually have him at RB12. It looks like he has a stranglehold on this backfield now. Rojo is in the doghouse. Even if Gio Bernard comes back this week and, you know, could potentially eat into some of those targets, some of that pass catching work. The only time that we've really seen Gio be super involved in this offense was whenever they were playing from behind going up against the Rams. That isn't going to happen this week against Miami. I mean, we had Leonard Fournette see 20 carries, 82% of the snaps last week. Ronald Jones had 6 carries. He did find the end zone, but I don't really care about that. He only had 17% of the snaps. Now they're going up against the Dolphins, who are giving up the 4th most half PPR points per game to the position. They've given up the 3rd most rushing yards. They're tied for the 2nd most touchdowns. So I really like Leonard Fournette this week. Like I said, it kind of seems like that leash with Ronald Jones was always short. And I think we're finally at the point where until Fournette really messes up, we might see a split like this. So I have Leonard Fournette pretty high up for me. The other guy that I want to touch on real quickly, a guy that I didn't love coming into the year, a guy that I still don't really care about all that much, or I'm not that crazy about, that's Josh Jacobs. You know, he went into that Monday night game really questionable. I wasn't sure that he was going to play, but he did. Ended up getting the majority of the snaps. It was 63% of the snaps. And the thing that made me, I guess, a little more optimistic about that is they were down big, obviously, in the first half with the Chargers jumping up with 21-0, I think, at the half. So I thought we were going to see a lot more Kenyon Drake because he has been that pass-catching back. That wasn't the case. Now it gets the Bears, although on paper, if you look at it, they're averaging the 11th fewest half PPR points per game to running backs. But that's largely in part to only allowing 2 total touchdowns on the year so far. And they've done a good job limiting pass catching work. But again, that's not a big thing with Josh Jacobs. So if he's going to be the guy, they're going to be putting the running back position on him. I like Josh Jacobs this week, and I think he's someone who, after what we saw going up against the Chargers, you can comfortably plug back in as an RB2 this week. Kev, shaking your head, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just I can't rock with Leonard Fournette. Like, I think he's a fine RB3, RB4. I don't trust Bruce Arians as far as I could throw him whatever he's going to do on any given damn week and why he does what he does. I think Leonard Fournette played well, it is good. It is good, though, to see Ronald Jones to get relegated to nothingness because that's where he could be. Because, you know, he's just a guy. But I digress. But I think some of these other guys that are a little bit interesting. You know, Trey Sermon played pretty well last week. And we mentioned that with him or with, you know, the Arizona Cardinals that they are more of a run funnel defense. They're 16th in run DVOA, but like first or second in pass DVOA. But we'll have to see kind of what happens with, Elijah Mitchell once he comes back. But Trey Sermon actually didn't look too bad last week. You know, I think he had almost 90 yards rushing in that game. Naheem Hines, this feels like this very well could be kind of a Naheem Hines game this week as well. Going up against Baltimore, a team that they're going to have to kind of put up some points on Monday Night Football. So I don't mind him as kind of at RB3. And then I really wish, that the Broncos would just trade Melvin Gordon, because I don't know if you guys saw that run by Javonte Williams, a man's run, just carrying the entire defense of the Baltimore Ravens on his back down. And it's just, like, this guy is so damn good. And it's so annoying that Melvin, they just continue to split carries every single fucking week, I'm never gonna wish injury on anybody, but man, like, it's just like, can we let Javonte eat, but other than that, past these guys, I don't want to start any of these guys if I don't have to, because none of them are anybody that you're really gonna trust that you're just like, oh yeah, definitely this guy this week. I think there's some playable guys, but let me just start a wide receiver in my flex. They're so much easier to trust. These running backs are so boom or bust.
Yeah, I feel like that has been the mantra for the past like 2 or 3 weeks with wanting the wide receiver in the flex versus any of these running backs. Robbie, before you jump in, I did just want to get your guys' thoughts. What are you doing with Miles Sanders? Are you benching him this week? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous the usage that he hasn't seen over the past 2 weeks. Now, obviously, getting blown out by Dallas, he only sees the two carries. But then last week, Kansas City, not a good run defense at all there. I think they were missing some pieces as well. 7 carries, 13 yards, 3 targets. Did end up getting the 34 yards with his receptions. But, I mean, you're looking at, a combined 16 opportunities in the past 2 weeks. Are you guys sitting him this week for somebody like a Zach Moss going up against Kansas City, Latavius Murray, Chuba Hubbard, somebody like that if you have him? What are you guys doing with Miles Sanders? Because it's kind of getting at the point where you probably drafted him in the 4th round or so. So it's not like you were, really tied to him. Are you sitting him? Are you playing him? What are you guys doing with Miles?
Yeah, I think that is all valid concerns, right? The usage is just not there. And I don't even know if the game script really matters, because we know that he's a guy that can catch the football, but they're just not trusting him with those snaps. That is absolutely going to Gainwell. And Gainwell's opportunity share is just creeping up and creeping up each and every week. So I'm at a point where you absolutely can sit him if the other person that you're starting over him is right. I have Miles Sanders right outside the top 24 running backs. He's 25 for me. I think he's actually 25 for all three of us. So yeah, that just shows that we're all at a point where you can, if you have two better running backs, start him. Guys, I have right around him, Josh Jacobs, Chuba Hubbard. You had Leonard Fournette up there. I have Leonard Fournette a couple spots back. But that's the level that he's at right now until we see him get a larger work share. I think he's probably too risky. And then we look at the matchup against the Panthers. Even after getting ran all over the place by Dallas, they're still the third best defense against the run. Now, I get it, they've also faced easier competition as well, but Miles Sanders has not proven to get the workload to make me want to start him in a matchup that's already not that appealing. So I think you absolutely can bench him.
I think it just really depends on what you have. I mean, most of it's been all been because of game script, right? That they were, just like you said, they were blowing. I mean, they were trailing the entire game for the most part and in each of the last two games they played. And so they really didn't have much of an opportunity to do much through on the ground. And so I mean, his snap share hasn't changed. I mean, he's playing roughly around 62% of the snaps in every single game he's played this year. It's just they've been at a point where, you have to throw the ball. They're not really an opportunity to run the ball. So really, I mean, I think he's more game script dependent right now. He actually ran the most routes last week among all of the Philly running backs. I mean, he ran 30 routes, and Kenny Gainwell only ran 19, you know. So, and Kenny Gainwell still not being utilized at all, between the tackles as a runner. I mean, 9-6, 1-3 carries so far to start the year. It's just been targets. And to be honest with you, I mean, outside of last week, I mean, he had 3-3-4 and then the 8 targets last week against Kansas City. And so, I mean, past that, I mean, and again, he's not coming anywhere close in terms of routes run to Miles Sanders. So I actually think Miles Sanders is a pretty solid buy right now for people that I think people are going to be looking to get off him. I don't think it's going to take a lot to acquire him. And I think there's going to be much better game scripts coming for this offense. And so I think Miles Sanders will be okay. And, you know, it's just all going to be a matter of if they can stay in this game. I don't foresee Carolina blowing out Philadelphia, kind of like the way the Chiefs and the I think this can be much more of a closer game, and as long as it is, then I think Miles Sanders is more somebody you could probably utilize a little bit more.
Robbie, anybody in the RB3 area that you know you're liking? Anyone that you are looking to start?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of guys just based on these timeshares that are starting to work themselves into more work. Gainwell's the guy that I'm probably not ready to quite do that, but other guys like J.D. McKissic has seen enough work in 2 of 4 games where in a pinch you can start him if you've had injuries. If you lost Montgomery and you don't end up getting Damian Williams, Tony Pollard, as much work as Zeke's been getting and how good Zeke has looked, Tony Pollard is getting enough work in his own right to be flex worthy the last couple of weeks. So I think that's a name that you can absolutely go to. Let's see what happens with Chris Carson. But I think even though the matchup is tougher, I think Alex Collins will probably get a majority of that workload for the Seahawks. So there's different guys. I think that we have to wait and see with some of these injuries, but I'd be able to trust some of these pass catching backs a little bit more. Naheem Hines is a guy that Kev mentioned. He's the guy that has the bad week, good week, bad week, good week. I think he's back to having a good week this week. So there's a handful of, especially when you're talking about the pass catching backs in a PPR setting, I'd be fine with rolling out as a flex.
Yeah, I thought we were getting that Naheem Hines week last week. So maybe this will be the week that he does hit, but that's going to wrap things up, guys. We appreciate you checking this out. Please hit us with a like and a subscribe if you have yet to do so. Any questions you have, leave a comment. We will get to them. Or open up the video description that's right below. Click on the link for the Discord. Absolutely free. You can jump in there and ask your questions as well. So make sure you keep things locked in here, and we'll see you guys on the next.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.